Chapter 8.
Are you doing all right, Carter?
Leah asked from the back seat of the Hummer as we drove in the direction of Cincy's Jewel.
You're looking very exhausted. Why don't you let one of us drive?
I'll be okay. Driving is the only thing keeping me awake, so just keep talking to me and I'll be fine. Once we hit tonight's grand reopening, I'll be running on full adrenaline, so I'll have no problem staying awake.
Does Ada know to meet us there? Or do we need to call her?
She probably knows, but calling her might not be a bad idea. We can bring her up to speed, and maybe talking to her will keep me awake for the rest of the drive. I used the hands-free Bluetooth technology in our vehicle to call up Ada, who answered after the very first ring.
Hello, love.
The succubus's voice said from the other side.
How's it going? Are we ready for the big night?
I hope so, because it's happening whether we're ready or not.
I still think Edgar laid those tiles in the bathroom a little lopsided. Although, I suppose nobody will notice unless they pay very close attention to our bathroom floor.
It is a club,
Leah teased.
I don't know about you guys, but I've spent a lot of time on the bathroom floors of the club, especially on Thirsty Thursdays.
Cincy's Jewel is a lounge, thank you very much. Haven't you learned anything from Valerie's marketing plan?
I honestly haven't been paying attention.
The polywarm woman shrugged.
All I know is it's a place to go, hang out, and grab a drink with your friends.
And enjoy an upscale, exclusive atmosphere that's inviting yet still affordable. I reminded Leah with a smirk. It's all right there in those targeted social media posts we sent out.
They obviously weren't targeted at me. I suppose we'll see if they reached their target audience when those doors open tonight.
I spent the rest of the drive filling in Ada on all the new developments in the Shadow Man saga. From the discoveries at the cemetery to Hansen's translation of the scrolls of the Spectral Plane, even to the conversation I had with Chip the Squirrel. Before long, we pulled into the back alley that led to our lounge and then up to the attendant's booth, where we were greeted with a hearty grunt from Paul.
Hey there, kids.
The old man muttered without looking up from his Sudoku puzzle.
Late night last night?
Yeah, I said as I rubbed my eyes. But not for any fun reasons, unfortunately.
Is this about that shadow guy? Ada was trying to tell us about the whole situation, but I was getting kind of confused. Then again, I didn't understand the plot of Inception, so maybe my old ass isn't a great judge of that sort of thing.
It's about the Shadow Man, yes. I nodded. But you don't have to worry about him. He's only after me, and only when I sleep.
Oh, glorious.
Paul's beady eyes looked up at me.
The last thing an old fart like me needs is another reason to be afraid of dying in his sleep.
Are you ready for tonight? I asked, after I was done laughing at his joke. There's hopefully going to be a lot of people, and I'm sure some of them are going to try and sneak in the back way.
Do you think you can handle a bunch of excited, rowdy Cincinnatians?
Leah asked with a smirk. Paul's face turned into a scowl as he set his book down on the desk in front of him. The old man then lowered his feet from the console, crossed his arms across his chest, and leaned against the inside ledge of the window. Then he said nothing. For nearly a solid minute. Okay, okay. I finally conceded. Point made.
Exactly. Nobody's getting past me tonight. Nobody.
Other than the caterers, chefs, and bartenders, right?
Who?
Paul raised a gray eyebrow. There's going to be more employees who need to park back here. We can't run an entire lounge all by ourselves, so we hired a bunch of people to temporarily help out.
Huh.
Paul nodded.
How the hell am I going to know the difference?
Their cars will be marked. Plus, they'll be getting here way before opening, since, well, everything needs to be set up beforehand.
I'll do my best.
Paul grunted. That's all I've ever asked, my friend, I said with a wink. Paul just rolled his eyes, pressed the button in front of him, and then stuck his nose back into his puzzle book. The arm of the gate lifted up, so I drove on through and found a parking spot. Leah, Naomi, and I all slid out of the Hummer and then proceeded to the back door of the lounge. We opened it up with a swipe of our key cards, entered, and then headed toward the main area of the building.
I still can't believe this day has finally come. It feels like you've been remodeling this place for a long, long time.
I have been. Every time I started the refurbishment process, some asshole from the OLG would show up and create a bunch more damage. Until Naomi's little enchantment, it was a never-ending cycle.
You're welcome.
The witch winked.
Now, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to help myself to a drink. I have a hunch alcohol will be in very, very short supply after the night is over.
Don't get your hopes up too much. This is just a soft opening. We're just going to open up and whoever shows up, shows up.
I think it'll be more people than you think, Carter. I knew about Cincy's Jewel for years, mainly because I knew it was such a staple of the night scene here in the city. I never actually came, but a bunch of my coven sisters were frequent flyers here, and they said it was always packed to the gills. People will be chomping at the bit to come back here.
I guess we'll see. I shrugged and then rubbed my eyes. I'm gonna have to pass on that drink, though. The last thing I need right now is a depressant. In fact, I'm gonna go to my office and grab the exact opposite. I'm gonna smash a whole can of Red Bull and blare music as loud as humanly possible to keep myself awake.
That sounds very unhealthy,
Leah said, as she pursed her lips into a worried line. I'll be fine. It's only temporary anyways. It's not like I'm gonna become an insomniac for life. Besides, I have a bunch of job applications I need to look over, so that'll help keep me awake.
If you're sure.
Leah narrowed her blue eyes at me, but then shrugged.
I'm gonna grab a drink, too, mainly because I think Naomi's right on the money.
I'm glad you guys are so optimistic. If Ada shows up in the meantime, send her back to my office, okay?
Will do.
The blonde woman shot me a thumbs up, and then she and Naomi turned away and shuffled off down the hall. As soon as they were gone, I turned around and headed straight for my office. Then I tossed open the door, flipped on the lights, and proceeded over to my desk, where the laptop was already open and ready to go. I pressed the power button on the machine before I walked over to the mini-fridge beside my bookshelf, and then I pulled out one of the many cans of Red Bull I'd stocked it with. If there was one thing I'd learned from my all-nighter studying sessions in college, it was that a good energy drink was your best friend when you wanted to stay awake. Thankfully, I'd cut back on the things since my freshman year, so my tolerance for caffeine was next to nothing. I cracked the can open with a sharp, pressurized hiss, and then I started to chug. The drink was tangy and bubbly with a hint of citrus, and I guzzled about half the can in one gulp. I figured that would be enough to give me a little boost for now, and then I could nurse the rest of the drink as I was working on other shit. I walked back over to my desk and plopped down in the large leather executive chair. Once I was logged into the computer, I headed straight to my music player app, where I turned on the heaviest metal playlist I could find. I cranked up the music until it was an echoing blare in my ears, and then I got to work looking through applications. Now that Cincy's Jewel was on the verge of its rejuvenation, we needed a fuck-ton more employees. We needed chefs and cooks for the kitchen, as well as servers and bartenders that could be available as full-time staff. Then there was the cleaning crew, repairmen who needed to be on call, and all the extra bouncers Tony had asked me to hire. And that was just to make this place run at a basic level, which didn't include human resources or public relations or event venue managers or anything of the sort. Thankfully, Ada had given me permission to make these job postings very desirable. I did my research and made sure they all paid at the higher end of the wage scale, comparatively, and the majority of these posts were for full-time positions with benefits. I guess this was one extra advantage of having a super-rich backer. Money wasn't an issue at all. The HR program we were currently using showed a grand total of 1,207 people who had applied to the various jobs we'd posted. Damn, that was a lot of people. But it was also something to keep my mind occupied for the next few hours, while I waited for the final preparations to be made for the grand reopening. If I could keep drinking this Red Bull and focus on these resumes, I wouldn't be thinking about how fucking exhausted I really was. I sipped the citrusy drink as I began to dig through the resumes and sort them into interview and rejection folders. All the while, I hummed away to the hard rock music booming in my ears, and bobbed along in time with its rhythm. However, I was more exhausted than I even realized, and before long, my eyes started to get heavy. I began to chug the energy drink in long gulps, and I was done with the whole can within seconds. Still, my eyelids felt like they had weights attached to them, and they kept trying to close. My head began to bob forward as I typed away, but each time I snapped back awake before the Sandman completely overtook me. Oh, fuck me, I grumbled as I rubbed my eyes. I think I need another can. When I tried to get up, however, I realized I couldn't move. My eyes darted around the room as I tried to get up from the chair, but nothing seemed to work. Fuck! I dozed off. That was when I saw the Shadow Man out of the corner of my eye. This time, he wasn't a female goblin, but rather, he took on the figure of a tall, lanky man with pale, vampire-like flesh and a tan trench coat that swayed back and forth with each step he took. His head was covered with wispy black hair that floated above him like he was underwater, and each of his fingernails were sharpened into deadly daggers. His small mouth was twisted into a razor-sharp smile, and there were no eyes or a nose on his face. There was only a mouth. His footsteps sounded like lead weights as they thudded across the floor, and my heart began to hammer to the beat of a drum.
Garter Hatfield,
The Shadow Man's voice croaked as he walked.
I finally have you. Oh, fuck this, I growled, and then I summoned the dark magic inside of me.
I saw the black spell surround me, and I felt a dull tickle in my body as my muscles began to expand, and my hair turned to thick black fur. My snout grew outward as my teeth became deadly sharp, and then I let out a roar as I leapt forward out of my chair. The Shadow Man sidestepped my lunge, and I skidded across the floor of the room for a second, before I whipped around to attack again. My head turned around just as his claws came at me, and I only had seconds to jump backward before he sliced open my throat. I snarled as I lashed out with my right paw and caught the fucker in the right side of the face. He let out an inhuman hiss as a strange black substance sprayed up into the air, and he stumbled backward. I'd hurt him. Dr. Hansen was right. A werepanther could hurt this son of a bitch. The only question was if this was the Shadow Man's true form or not. If it wasn't, then I was afraid this might be all for naught. Still, I wasn't going to back down. I was stuck in this world until I woke up from my slumber, and I sure as fuck wasn't going to just lay down and die. The Shadow Man's hands quickly shot up, and he stabbed his claws into my shoulders. I roared in agony as the razor-sharp nails stabbed through my flesh like fillet knives, through a piece of cardboard, and a few sharp pains jolted through my sides as the Shadow Man lifted me up in the air. How the fuck was he doing this? He was built like a fucking string bean, and I was a werepanther, but I wasn't able to break free of his grasp.
My world, my rules,
he said with a devilish smile, and then he opened his mouth wide and thrust it forward, right toward my throat. In one quick motion, I bent my body at the center and kicked the fucker in the chest like a jackrabbit. The Shadow Man snarled as he was launched backward, and the sheer force of the impact caused his claws to slide out of me with a wet schluck. I fell down onto all fours and bounded forward, while my opponent was still disoriented. I unsheathed my claws as I ran, and then I stabbed my paw right into the bastard's stomach. Without missing a beat, I lifted the Shadow Man up into the air and then slammed him down as hard as I fucking could, right onto the floor. He hissed in pain each time he hit the ground, but the attack didn't seem to be doing much damage, so I resorted to more desperate measures. I slammed the Shadow Man into the ground and stabbed my other set of claws into his chest. Then I let out a roar as I moved both arms in opposite directions, and the Shadow Man screamed as dark liquid splashed up onto my chest, while his body was torn in two. Finally, I tossed the two halves to the side and let out a sigh of relief. But much to my surprise, the two halves of the Shadow Man's body stood back up, and then black tendrils shot out of their torn sides and started to stitch the bastard back together.
Ah, shit,
I grumbled. This must not have been his true form. Which meant this was going to be a test of endurance, where I simply survived until somebody in the outside world woke me up. As long as I could avoid those deadly claws and teeth of the Shadow Man's, I could easily outlast him. Unfortunately, that was something much easier said than done. The Shadow Man's two halves finally reached each other and then turned, so their missing halves were parallel. The second they did so, a bit of shadowy material reached out, interlocked, and then pulled the body back together.
Nice try, he mocked. But you will die at my hand, one way or another. What's your problem with me anyways?
I asked, as I tried to stall for time.
I didn't even know you existed until you decided to crash my dreams the other night. Just know, the OLG sends their regards.
The Shadow Man smiled. Of fucking course, those cultist bastards were behind this. They couldn't track us or attack our homes anymore, so they decided to do the next best thing, which was apparently to come after me in my own freaking mind, or wherever the hell the Shadow Man took me.
I gotta know,
I said through gritted teeth.
What could a bunch of mortals offer you, an all-powerful creature from the time before humans even existed? Nothing.
The Shadow Man clicked his tongue.
Simply the satisfaction of having killed a werepanther is enough for me. They told me where to find you, and now I will do the rest.
The Shadow Man moved at an increased speed, and a small mist of dark magic trailed along behind him as he came toward me. I ducked out of the way of the first blow, and then I tossed up my right paw and caught his wrist right before it came down on my head. I quickly jerked the fucker to the right and launched him into the nearby wall where his body smashed through one of my bookshelves. Much to my surprise, the shelf broke, and everything on it came tumbling down onto the fucker's head. Was this still part of the other dimension, or was I actually destroying my own office? This was all very confusing, but I'd figure it out later. Every instinct in my body told me to run forward and finish this asshole off with a bite to the skull, but I had to stop myself. In his current form, that would only temporarily stun the bastard, and it would also allow him to take a cheap shot at me once I got too close. So instead, I stood there and waited for him to get back up.
"That's it?"
I scoffed.
"Bragging rights, it's that simple, huh?"
"I never have had such satisfaction,"
my enemy whispered as he stood back to his feet.
"They always get to you creatures first."
"Oh!"
I taunted as I dug in my feet and waited for the Shadow Man to attack.
"So I'm just like sloppy seconds to you. The OLG couldn't kill me, so they send in some second-rate monster to finish the job?"
"You don't have any idea what I truly am,"
the Shadow Man hissed.
"Other than a pain in my ass?"
I asked. But then the fucker shot forward with the speed of a cheetah. I sidestepped his blow, but he came back around and caught me in the back. Pain shot through my torso as his claws slashed across my furry flesh, and blood began to ooze out of the fresh wounds. I tucked into myself and rolled forward to avoid his attack, and then I heard his claws stab into the floor with a dull thud. Right in the nick of time. I flipped around in a crouch and instinctively rolled away to the right, just as the Shadow Man leapt forward and slammed his fist into the spot where I'd just been. I came up next to my mini-fridge and then got an idea. I picked up the thing in my hands in one fell swoop and launched it at the son of a bitch. He grunted when the stainless steel appliance hit his body, and that was all the distraction I needed. I closed the gap between the two of us in a matter of seconds, and I brought my claws up into his head in an uppercut. The sheer force of my blow tore the Shadow Man's head off his body, which then I kicked away with my right foot. However, the fucker's head was still 100% alive. It let out a hiss as it tried to lunge at my throat, but I was able to keep it at bay with an extended arm. Next, I hauled back, spun around, and tossed his decapitated skull toward the other side of the room, where it bounced across the floor and then came to a rolling stop right up against the door. I knew that wasn't actually going to stop the bastard, but it would at least buy me a few more seconds to breathe. Then, as the Shadow Man's body started to lumber toward his severed head, I decided to go on the offensive. I picked up my executive chair and threw it straight at the Shadow Man. It slammed into him hard and knocked him to the ground, and while his body was down, I bounded over to his head and then sent it like fucking Beckham. I kicked it all the way to the other side of the room, where it smashed into the wall with a sickly squelch and then plopped back to the floor.
"You're only prolonging the inevitable,"
the Shadow Man's voice snickered.
"I will kill you eventually, Carter Hatfield. Your kind will never rule as Bast intended."
"Who said anything about ruling? At this point, I kinda just want to be left the fuck alone."
The Shadow Man's body was now back on its feet and walking toward his head. This time he moved with his extra speed, and his body reached his head before I had a chance to do anything. He picked up his head and held it above his body, and once again, dark, shadowy tendrils came out and pulled them back together. I stomped my feet into the ground and let out a powerful roar as I dared the bastard to attack. He didn't even react to the sound. Instead, the Shadow Man's mouth twisted into an evil grin, and he started to lumber toward me like a slasher movie villain. As the Shadow Man approached, he started to speak in a very throaty, deep language that sent shivers down my spine. Was that the language of the Ancient Ones? Every nerve in my body was on edge as I stared down my opponent and waited for him to make his move. Finally, once he was within striking distance, he let out a hiss and jumped forward. I grabbed both his arms, reared back, and then slammed my head into his face. A jolt of pain shot through my skull as my brain jostled around inside my head, and the Shadow Man snarled. Before he could make another move, I spun my entire body around and launched him straight up into the sky. His body slammed into the ceiling and created a giant crater from the impact, and then he plummeted straight back down, landed on his feet, and lunged at me once more. He swiped at my face with his claws, but I was too quick for the shadowy asshole. I sprang backward as he came at me, and then I punched him in the face. As he stumbled away, I spread out my paws, took aim at his skull, and slammed my palms together. Hard. The Shadow Man yelped as his head exploded into a geyser of the black ectoplasmic liquid, and his body fell down onto his knees. For half a second, I thought I'd killed the bastard, but I knew better by now. Sure enough, the Shadow Man's head began to reform atop his body, and he simply shook it back and forth as if he were shaking off a punch from a toddler. His claws blindly swiped at my stomach, but I was able to dodge just before he disemboweled me. Then I brought up my foot and slammed it into his face, which caused him to roll across the ground. The Shadow Man used his own momentum to flip up onto his feet, and he stood there with a shit-eating grin on his face.
"I can see why they fear you,"
he admitted in a haunting tone.
"But I do not wear panther." "Good," I growled. "That'll make it all the more satisfying when I kill you."
The Shadow Man remained completely motionless as he stared me down, almost as if he were waiting for me to make the next move. I wasn't going to give him that satisfaction. I began to walk around in a wide pattern to the right, and my opponent mirrored my actions. We circled around the room like a pair of pacing tigers until, finally, I got to where I wanted to be. My desk. I subtly placed my hand against the mahogany piece of furniture and hoped to God this was just the dream version of it. Then, without any warning, I picked it up and hurled it at the Shadow Man. The fucker tried to dodge my attack, but it was no use. My desk slammed into him and broke in half as it knocked him flat onto his ass. That was when I pounced. I jumped right on top of the Shadow Man, dug my foot claws into his stomach, and then proceeded to pummel his head with both my fists. Each punch was strong enough to squish his head like a rotten grapefruit, though he regenerated after every blow. That didn't bother me, though. This was still inflicting pain on the bastard, and it was extremely satisfying on my end.
"What's your true form?" I demanded as I squished his head. "Tell me now and I'll stop this."
The Shadow Man started to laugh, even though he was still wailing in pain with each punch I landed.
"There is no stopping," he taunted, which only made me punch him harder. "Tell me," I screamed, as red-hot rage boiled up from my very core. "You motherfucker, tell me right now!"
The world started to turn a shade of red as I continued to smash the Shadow Man's head just as quickly as it could regenerate. Then I heard a soft voice cut through the haze of the fever dream I was in. A woman's voice. Ada's voice. It started off soft and unintelligible, but then it grew stronger and more pronounced by the second.
"Carter!"
the succubus screamed, and my eyes shot open. I let out a panicked yelp as I looked around to see where I was. I was still in my chair, with my laptop open in front of me and an empty can of Red Bull off to the top right of my desk. Everything appeared to be just as I'd left it. I must have fallen asleep. I gasped as my heart hammered beneath my sternum. Ada ran over, threw her arms around me, and hugged me with the strength of a bear trap.
"Thank fuck,"
she breathed into my ear.
"I didn't think I was going to be able to wake you up."
I shrugged through a yawn. I was winning anyways.
"So, he did come back?"
The succubus frowned as she pulled away.
"The Shadow Man attacked you again?"
"He was a Freddy Krueger-looking fuck this time, but I handled him. Or, at least I kept him at bay until you woke me up. Thank you, Ada. I thought I could keep myself awake with loud music and some caffeine, but it must not have been enough."
"I'm just glad I stopped by when I did. The others said you'd been in here for almost an hour."
"An hour?" I asked, as I glanced at the clock. "I was only fighting with the Shadow Man for like 10 minutes.
"You were in another dimension, love. Time probably functions differently there."
"Well," I said as I stretched my arms above my head.
"I guess there is one silver lining to all of this. I got in a quick nap, and now I feel a little bit refreshed."
"From a 1 hour nap?"
Ada raised an eyebrow.
"You haven't slept in almost 2 full days.
"Anything is better than nothing," I shrugged. "But I know I'm going to doze off again if I'm not careful. I just hope that by next time I've got a better idea about how to actually kill him, instead of just causing him some mild inconveniences."
"With Janine on the case, I'm sure you will."
"Anywho, how are things going out there? I started going through applications to fill these positions, but, well, you know."
"Carter, you just got attacked by an interdimensional monster in your sleep. Are you sure you don't want to talk about it some more?"
"What more is there to talk about? He attacked me, I fought him off, and now I'm awake. No harm, no foul."
"If you say so."
Ada shook her head.
Everything is just about in order. All the caterers and bartenders are here, as are Valerie and Becca. And you'll be happy to know that Paul only threatened to murder one caterer, only because the man was giving him some lip.
Wow, I said with a smirk. What would we possibly do without Paul around?
Things would be much more boring. That much is for sure.
Welp. I sighed as I stood up, stretched, and then walked over toward the door. I guess there's no use sitting in here and trying to do more applications. I'm sure that'll put me right back to sleep, and that's the last place I want to be right now.
What do you plan to do instead?
The succubus purred and batted her eyelashes at me.
We still have a few more hours before the doors open.
I'm going to do what any good owner should do. I'm going to go out there, take it all in, and appreciate the calm before the storm. If Naomi and Leah were right with their predictions, then we may have a much larger crowd than I anticipated. And if that was the case, this might be a night that forever changed the course of my story and my empire.